Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brother.
Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your hosts, Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry,
Worshipful Brother Joe,
Worshipful Brother Ken,
and Brother Rocco.
We found Rocco. He was on the side of the road collecting cans.
He was out there with my friend, waiting for the bus. So he's like, come on in! Good, we're Jean-Louis.
I thought it was Jean-Pierre.
So this episode, we're talking about...
His real name's Jim, which was really disappointing.
Close enough.
That was really disappointing.
How to become a... district deputy and the grand jurisdiction of Connecticut. I know it's varies from state to state, but we're going to be talking about it and how to advance through the line, because I know for many people they become a past master and then that's it. You're done.
In our defense, we only have one...
lunatic. Greetings.
Lunatic friend.
We only have one past district deputy up here, so...
George, remind us what year.
What do you mean?
Oh, you.
I mean, we might not know anything about it.
I said after you become a past... Oh, did I say past district deputy? I meant to say...
No. You said past master. What I meant is, you know, there's only one of us who really knows the true procedure, I would imagine.
To speak from experience on how to obtain such a...
Well, you guys pretty much know, no?
For the most part.
Not really.
George, what years?
Where am I?
What year? What?
Were you district deputy?
15, 16.
That was
three grandmasters, 2 years. So,
hashtag not my district.
Yes, I
as
was.
A matter of fact, you were.
But we're going to go over that, and we're going to talk about just how to advance through the line. I guess we can start with.
Do you want to start with likes first? I got new likes.
Yep. Fire away.
All right,
likes.
You're in charge.
See if I could. Let's see how easily I can get through these.
You got the Facebook ones.
Rob Gregonis. Ryan Condon.
Oh.
Yes, that's Ryan. That's that Ryan Condon.
I thought Mr. Ryan's dad.
Mary Jane Smith O'Connor. Bayless Brown. CJ Bogosius. Yagnik Anna. Shannon Goodwin. And Chris Carter. Not the Hall of Fame Chris Carter from the Minnesota Vikings, just another Chris Carter.
An even better Chris Carter.
Even better, because he likes us. The other Chris Carter probably has no idea who we are. But yeah, those are our likes. So I will go ahead and lead the toast, brothers. Right hand to arms.
To arms.
Ready?
Ready.
Aim.
Aim.
Fire good fire, fire all. Together, brothers.
Vivat.
Charge them up again. Oh, my God. It's so much better when we're drinking good whiskey.
Marco, I appreciate you pouring me that glass, but it was like half full.
So I'm going to start from...
Half full is bad?
No.
We got some new subscribers on YouTube. We're going to start doing this. More than I expected. We're going to start from a week ago. So we're going to charge them up, and we're going to toast our new YouTube subscribers. And we'll start with Sid Rad. Then we'll go to Daniel Mattis.
Mad Dog.
Not Mad Dog, but... I mean... Don Galuppi.
Joe's got to read this one.
Where are we looking?
Don Galuppi.
Where? I see Fox News.
No.
Yeah, I have no idea. I think it went to a different notification.
There. Don Galuppi.
Don Galuppi. Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
I was close. Packapins 2. Brandon Christie, and I think that's all we have for right now. So, thank you for subscribing to us on YouTube, as well as liking what we do. Joseph Schultz, Worshipful of Joseph Schultz, hello. Joe, tell them what to do if they want to get a shout out on YouTube.
You got to smash that like button, smash that subscribe button.
You do.
That's what you do.
That's right.
That's what you do.
Yeah, baby.
And then after you do that, if you want to get some access to exclusive content for as little as $3 a month, you join Patreon. You'll get exclusive access to Patreon content. We just recorded a little mini episode before this.
Is that what it was?
I don't know if I'd call that an episode.
It's all about marketing.
Okay, sorry.
Mini episode. You'll also get access to our Discord server, which has up to 8 channels right now. We're expanding. It's like cable back in 1982.
Yeah.
And you don't have to stick a paperclip in the back of the box on this one to get the X-rated content.
Yep, they're all unscrambled.
Yep, all access. And then you'll also get the limited edition Gold Tone Freemasons Podcast lapel pin.
Perfect.
All for as little as $3 a month.
All right. I read them. You lead it.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, you're looking at me, but then you were talking to Joe. All right, brethren, right hand to arms.
To arms. Arms.
Ready.
Ready.
Aim.
Aim.
Fire good fire, fire all. Together, brethren.
Viva, viva, viva. All right, before we get into this, to the topic, for those who are watching us live on YouTube, and for you guys, have you guys listened to any of the content of the Lost Book of Enki?
I have not.
Special episode? Little, yeah. What do you think?
I'm one book in, and I think it's good, but like, you know me, I'm not an esotericism guy. I like the fact that...
Wait till you get to Tablet 3.
What was it, like 5,000 years before...
So
before Christ that we're talking here, and
so hold on, we would say that
don't give it all away, just tease it.
Good old JC was how many years away from us right now?
How many years away from us right now?
Yes,
like
2053 or so.
And prior to Jesus, there was Abraham. How many years was he prior to him?
Well, now you're. Rocco.
Isn't I don't know, but thousands.
Rocco's our
theory. Abraham lived like a crazy amount of years.
It was like thousands of years prior. Of years. Okay, so we're talking Old Testament is like...
We're going back thousands. 500 at least.
Okay. 5,000 years from them.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
So you're talking about tablets that were written on... they weren't written on papyrus, because we know papyrus paper breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So this these things predate the Bible roughly about 5,000 years.
Yep.
And the one thing that's cool about the Sumerians is they never accredited what they learned that, oh, yeah, we knew this. We just knew it. They always accredit it to their gods, which were the Anunnaki. The Anunnaki, which literally breaks down to those from heaven to earth came.
Okay.
And they're written on clay tablets. So what they would do is they had
original source material.
Cuneiform tablets, original source material. There's no altering. There's no mankind change the stories. I mean, this is literally stories that came directly from them. And these are tablets that have still yet to be deciphered.
Yeah, and I think it was a really special kind of clay that they used that didn't break down. I think it was called caseous or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Nice. So that's what I liked about
it. I'm definitely waiting to listen for a road trip. Because it's a good road trip thing to do.
To where?
To go and visit.
I'm waiting to listen.
He wants to go on a road trip to listen.
I got you.
Good point.
For our next long trip, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit down and listen.
I'm not going to Samaria.
It's like listening to an audio book.
That's exactly the Middle East kind of material. Plan. Yeah. I was like, you know what? If I have to go drive somewhere, let me go put this on.
Good evening. But just to put it on the perspective that the book that I'm reading is The Lost Book of Enki. It's a podcast special episode. I'm on Tablet 3 right now. And so just so you guys have an idea who Zechariah Sitchin was, he was one of 5 men in the entire world who can actually translate Sumerian cuneiform.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's neat. I mean, we've always been told that there are like these repeating archetypes in the world, right? Like the wise old man archetype and like the young, naive child archetype.
Tablet.
But it's like, it kind of makes sense that
like me and you, the old man and the young child.
But it's nice to know that people were talking about that, you know, like 7,000 years ago.
What did I miss? Come on. I see you writing. What did I miss?
I said it was a special kind of clay. I think it was called caseous.
I did hear Cassius Clay. Yeah,
and you were like, oh, yeah.
I was thinking you're spewing truth.
All right. I have a knack for that. One time I convinced somebody, we were at the Sleepy Hollow Cemetery, and there's a big mausoleum for Gurney. And I convinced the person that that's the guy that invented the hospital gurney.
Nice.
And they actually believe
it. Was it you?
Nicely done. Nicely done. I missed that one. I was deep in my esoteric brain. And Joe.
Oh, that's great.
He put one past
me. Yeah. I mean, he
right
does.
Right in your five hole. Right in your five hole.
Very nice. It's all right. But anyway, Tablet 3, for those who are listening, that one grabs you right by the short and curlies, if you will, because it actually shows a more elaborate form of the 7 days of creation, 6 days of creation, whatever. But it explains it in way more detail, according to the Sumerian god Enki. And it's like, whoa, holy shit. And it came out of the cuneiform tablets. This isn't, I've said it before that it's Zechariah Sitchin's best attempt to translate something from Sumerian to English. So some of the things just don't make sense, or what they are is they're capitalized in the book because there's no other way to explain it, what they're trying to say, because it's
there's a certain level of subjectivity that comes in the translation, because language evolves over time, and there may not have been words for certain things in that language. So,
and metaphor and things like that never really come through in translation.
Polisi Matt says, I know there's a few researchers on this. Is Sitchin the better one? I don't know if he's the better one.
The most well-known.
He's probably the most well-known. He's the most in-depth.
He's the one that launched this.
Yes, he's the one who was...
You know, back in the 80s, it was in the 80s when he came out with his first book, Chariots of the Gods.
That was Eric von Daniken. Van Daniken. The first one that he came out with was The 12th Planet.
You're right. But this is back in the 80s, so they
Bang the table, they had this going. Thank you.
You know, 30 years now.
Thank you for your participation.
I have no idea.
No, but he, I'm breaking your balls, Rocker, for banging on the table. But no, you're right. Yes, that was his first book, and he's been very in depth into this for a very long time. There is actually a website called SitchinIsWrong.com. Okay. So here's somebody else with a different point of view. But I mean, if you're going to go out of your way to actually make a website that says Sitchin is wrong, who are you trying to prove yourself? Who are you trying to prove it to?
Unless it's disinformation.
You know, I'm just saying, who are you trying to prove yourself to actually, first off, coin the guy's name and then tell him he's wrong?
You're validating him.
You know,
those are usually like the clickbait websites that I try to avoid. You know, if I like look up a question like how safe is it to tension wires, and like the first five results are like those clickbaity, like, you know, weird hippie
websites. The first five results
websites
are sponsored Amazon ads for Tesla.
Well, yeah, that too. Yeah.
Hey, on that Russian email server that you have, can we get like a domain like George Mudry Sucks or something?
Yes,
like that?
Comrade, you can.
That would be.
You can get any domain you want, comrade.
If you want a challenge,
it'll just be all memes.
Yeah, it'd be George Mudry Sucks, but it would all be in Cyrillic characters, so you wouldn't really be able to read it, but that's okay. You
would be George Mudry memes.
Yeah. I see. Apparently, it's my night, apparently.
We could add that to Patreon.
You want a challenge, try to get a Chinese.
You get that with the $10 a month level.
Oh, it's possible.
Oh, it's my freaking night, apparently. So anyway, we'll move on from that. Let's talk about, I think before we get into the whole how do you become a district deputy, I think it's important that we talk about how do you, and we'll talk about individual lodges. Rocco can talk about ours, Ken talk about his, Joe can talk about his mother lodge. How do you advance in your own lodge in order to move forward to become the master first? I think that's important to know that though you don't necessarily have to be a past master, but it's usually a prerequisite, if you will,
for a district deputy
to become a district deputy. So let's go down that line first, and we'll talk about we'll start with Ken actually first, and then we'll move over to Rocco and then Joe last. In your lodge, we all know the progression of rank, but is there anything in particular that your lodge does almost as a proving ground traditionally?
Not really. I mean, I know that there are some lodges that do like these associate officers positions that are like kind of like understudies for you know, the stewards where most progressive lines start. We do have a progressive line in our lodge. We start at junior steward, mm-hmm. right? I know some lodges do the master of ceremonies first and stuff like that, but we start at junior steward, and usually it's a brother who has done a lot for the lodge already, mm-hmm. right? So it's we really tried hard not to take some recently raised brother and be like, hey, what are you doing for like the next 8 years? Because there's an opening for junior steward like there is every year. We try not to do that. It's usually a brother. I mean, and sometimes it's a newly minted brother who gets, you know, super, super involved and wants to do everything and like shows up to work days and is like washing the windows on his own time when nobody asks him to do it kind of stuff. But a lot of times it's brothers that, you know, were raised a couple of years ago and just decided to, you know, become very, very active in lodge. Their life is in a good place and they express interest in joining the line. We try not to, you know, pressure anybody to start down that track because you want somebody who's got the staying power and who's really interested in it. So usually all you do is you let the master know, like the current master, sometime around, you know, October or something of that year, and say, hey, I'm interested in becoming the new junior steward next year if nobody else has expressed interest. And usually, you know, a couple brothers will come forward, and then the next incoming master has to make the final call on which of those brothers is going to actually get the role because they make the appointment at the end of the day. But yeah, usually we don't have enough brothers that are interested in it to like have some kind of like training track that we put them through or something like that where they have to be an associate officer first. So that's how we do it. Pretty traditional, I think.
Cool. Rocco, how does our lodge do it?
I really like what Ken said because that was my experience. Mm-hmm. I walked into lodge and became the junior steward immediately almost.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I sat as junior steward, and maybe not in an official capacity, but I sat as junior steward probably for 3 years. Mm. And I took the role, and then it evolved into taking some of the junior warden's responsibility. And because life gets in the way sometimes,
yep.
The junior warden sometimes would fall off. So for those 3 years, I found myself stepping up and being closer to a junior warden position as a steward than I would be normally. And then I found myself progressing. So everyone's path is different, obviously. And I made it to junior warden. I'm happy right there. I'm happy to step off. I'm happy to sit on the sidelines. I'm happy to step in and help in degrees. But I don't necessarily want to be master of the lodge today. And that's a personal choice. It's the same choice that I would expect someone to make for the better of the lodge.
I also think if I can piggyback, because again, we're part of the same lodge. Actually, all four of us are part of the same lodge. It's pretty crazy.
We are indeed. We're all dues paying members.
Morningstar, again, we've said it before, had a very rough patch too, where we were trying to just plug holes where we could. We had people drop off. We had people coming through. We had people. We're pretty much stabilized now.
Yeah.
But I think it's tougher for smaller lodges too, going through that that whole ordeal of trying to figure out who goes where. But I would have to say we progress. I mean, granted, sometimes life gets in the way. True. But we also progress, I think, on merit alone, because if you can't pull your weight in your chair, you're gone.
Yeah.
Just that simple.
We do a progressive line in my home lodge or my mother lodge or whatever, but there is always the option that, especially when you get up to the warden's positions and the lodge at large is voting on you,
mm-hmm.
like if you're not qualified, you're not moving up.
And it's not that not that I'm not qualified. I perfectly could go that line.
Oh yeah, and you could make your own choice and be like, I'm staying in the chair. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not the time in my life to do it.
Joe.
Yeah, so Ashlar Aspetuck has, for the most part, a progressive line. But like my personal experience, I was raised in March, at the end of March. So even though I wasn't a steward that year, I was in essence newest Master Mason. Mm-hmm. I was the third steward. I jumped in, you know, worked with Brother Mark Smith, who I know you know, was with me. He got raised with me. So we both jumped into that assistant steward role unofficially. But we started working and proving that year.
Can I interrupt you real quick?
You may.
I'm sorry. Senior Deacon was he went in with you was Mark Adam.
Smith?
Mark Smith.
Mark Smith and I got
Mike
raised.
Adams on my brain.
Yeah, Mark Smith and I got raised the same time.
Mark Smith, still the best today senior deacon I've ever seen perform the ritual, period. Want to give him a shout out.
You never saw me do.
Nice.
That is high praise. tough position there.
Go ahead.
But you just like that he clicks his heels like a Marine.
That's
I know that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I can't lie. During a degree, clicking heels.
Yeah, it is pretty snazzy.
You want to see? You want to see who does that? Have you guys ever seen Prince Hall?
Patent leather.
Oh, do they?
Oh yeah. They boom.
Yeah.
Oh.
They snap.
Yeah.
Amazing. I gotta say that does add something
it
to
does.
A degree.
Anyway, continue. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to give a.
No
worries.
Yeah, no, actually, I saw him at the gym tonight before I came here. But, no, we were raised together, and we both jumped into this assistant steward position and just started doing the work then. So then the following year, somebody had jumped out of line, so we both had the opportunity to become stewards the following year. So I went in as a senior steward and him as junior. But we had already had 9 months or, you know, take out the 2 months that were not there. But we still did summer picnics and stuff. So we still had a body of work of 9 months showing, hey, we're going to show up. We're going to help out. We're going to do all these things. Mm-hmm. And the stewards were happy because they had somebody that they were now in charge of. Mm-hmm. They weren't the lowest man on the totem pole anymore. But you do it through hard work and you advance that way. And as long as you do the work and you build up the trust and faith of your brothers, you'll continue to progress through that line.
Correct.
However, I can say, you know, before you get to the junior warden's station, usually the past masters get together and kind of say, okay,
really?
Is this guy ready to be a principal officer of the lodge?
Interesting.
Because it's a big jump. Because once you're a junior warden or above, it's presumed you're going to be master. You don't want to have that conversation in senior warden in October.
I am intrigued.
Do they do that overtly? Like openly?
Everybody get
it's
out.
It's not done in lodge, but there.
We must speak.
The past
now.
Masters of past masters of the lodge regularly meet. Just to
talk about the past masters the association
yeah.
kind of thing.
Really,
yeah.
It's
I don't
a
think
loosely
that surprises me at all.
It's a loosely yeah. big. It's yeah, not like a formal charter or anything, but you talk about, hey, the future of the lodge. Hey, do you think so and so is ready? Now, if somebody says, and this. This has actually happened a couple times since I've been a past master.
I'm really intrigued. I'm not going
to
lie.
Well, we've had a discussion of, is this person ready to be junior warden?
Isn't this just like, it's just a normal process.
It's almost like a social
it's just
club.
A normal process.
It is.
Right? Like the past masters have a little luncheon once a
Yeah,
lunch,
exactly. We used to do it for breakfast. Right.
For the
and
good
then
of
it,
the
But the discussion, here's the important part of the discussion. If for some reason you're like, I don't know if he's ready to go on, okay, has anybody spoken to him?
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody tried to help him?
Mm-hmm.
What have we as past masters done to prepare him for that position? If we can in good conscience say we've worked with him, we've met with him, we've tried to help him out, we've tried to do this, he's just not there yet.
I think you hit
potentially, the nail on we're not saying don't vote for the guy, but potentially, if we're all in agreement, there's enough votes
so
there.
So, how
to
does
stop
the
it.
Past masters relay that to the lodge, though?
They
because,
don't.
Again,
it's when they vote.
They don't have
it's
to.
It's
yeah,
vote.
It's basically majority rules.
So, you can get a whole freaking slew of the past masters just.
You could. We
well,
never,
you should
we
talk
never
to
sit
the person
there and.
Too.
And that's the key. Yeah. That's what it always comes
like,
down to.
Yeah.
Because we've had some people where we've had concerns where we sat them down and say, are you sure you want this?
Mm.
And we'll say, we're not really sure that you're ready for this.
Mm.
If you want to take another year, you're welcome to. If you want to advance, you're going to have to. And this is usually done early on in the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, okay, it's October. You got to show us something by December.
Right, right.
It's discussed earlier in the year. It's like, okay, well, there's some people that are on the fence about you. This is your time to show us. This is your time to exhibit some of those leadership skills, and if you don't have them, we're here to help you. So it's trying to proactively identify any leadership issues and get upskill him before the time comes, rather trying to teach him when he's in the job.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, we've got a year to get you ready to become junior warden. We're taking it on ourselves as past masters to do everything we can to make sure that you're ready. If you're not, then that's as much on us as it is you.
Right.
Because somebody let you get to this point.
Right.
And the worst thing is when, you know, I can remember discussions where we're talking about a senior ward and advancing to master. And you're like, hey, guys, we should have had this conversation years ago.
Mm.
We're not pulling the plug on this now. We own this. And if it's a bad year, that's on us.
Right.
We didn't do anything about it.
Right.
So I, to me, and it's, I would instill that to every lodge out there. It's before they get to the three principal officer spots, really don't delay that conversation. Have it then. It'll make those years go a lot better. Because then it just, if the person's like, I want to do it, but I need help. Okay, we'll help you. We'll
I really think that's solid advice. It's solid advice. No, absolutely.
So, question for you. So, for you guys, how many of you guys actually know how the process of picking a district deputy works? Raise your hand. Do you guys?
I know a little bit about it. I don't know the total ins and outs, but I know it's done by the permanent voting members.
So I know you guys break my stones a little bit, but do you guys love me? You guys would protect me and
brotherly. Like as a brother, yeah.
I'm just saying, because if all the permanent members,
love.
If the permanent members come up here and just decide to just Julius Caesar my ass.
I don't know.
Yeah, we got your back.
After all the crap you've done to Rocco, he's Brutus.
I know. Yeah,
he's getting it.
Dude.
We're just going to be standing around. He's going to have a knife in his hand. And we're going to be like,
are you going to pick up the phone when I call?
At you, Rocco?
So, all right. So, believe it or not, I'm going to be honest. The process isn't much different than what you and your past masters do. And I'll tell you this. So, first off, we have a Blue Lodge. We have a council, Blue Lodge. For each district here in the state of Connecticut. I don't know what other jurisdictions. No, I'm only speaking for what we do here, at least in the third district of the Grand Lodge of the state of Connecticut. So that's all I can really give insight for, but I'm assuming it's probably a similar process to this in other grand jurisdictions. But our district meets as a Blue Lodge at least once a month, I'd say, or once every 2 months or something like that.
They've been a little sparse this year.
They've been sparse this year, but
it's usually once every couple months,
So the very first thing that – so the permanent members are the ones who put the name forward for district deputy, okay? So all of the past Grand Lodge officers, all past district deputies, they all kind of meet. And sometimes it's we meet at Maples or something, you know, a restaurant. We all get – and we kind of just throw around the table. But so that's how we meet.
Something a little higher brow than Maples, but okay.
I'm just throwing an example.
I like Maples.
I expected smoke-filled rooms, men's,
tuxedos. No, I swear to God, we've met for breakfast. We've met for breakfast. And that's cool. You know, and one thing that's very important to know is that the permanent members are sworn to secrecy. Like, you are not to go to that person and be like, hey, guess what? You got it, man. Because it'll be the last permanent members meeting you'll probably ever be invited to. And it's not a a definitive thing. In other words, you can – they kind of go around the table and they ask all the permanent members, like, who would you nominate? Who would you nominate? Who would you nominate? Now, some – some permanent members obviously are going to be, we got to keep it in the house. We got to keep it in our lodge, right? Because they're lodge first, craft later, right? So we may pick somebody who doesn't necessarily deserve it, which I don't particularly agree with because I pick based off of merit. So me as a
you got to do it for the good of the craft.
Right.
Like what's going to benefit the craft and the Grand Lodge jurisdiction the most?
Right.
Yeah. It's not who's going to be a future past master and like bring our lodge credit. It's who's going to do the best for the craft.
Granted, would a district deputy love to keep that apron or that lanyard in-house?
Oh, sure.
Sure.
We all would.
But realistically, when you sit there and you look around your lodge and you're like, no. No fucking way.
Right.
No,
right.
But in all joking aside, though, the way I pick, and I'll tell everybody how I would pick who my nomination would be, and it goes by nominations. And whoever has the most, I guess you'd say, nominations ends up getting it. And a perfect example is, we'll go off of this. So all these lodges have their own different nominations. Well, how do you decide, let's say every lodge chooses their own, that generally doesn't happen, and I'll tell you why. Because Blue Lodge Council is extremely important. If you're out there going to Blue Lodge Council, and realistically, in our It's not that you need to, but it's highly frowned upon if you are a junior warden, senior warden, or a worshipful master and don't go to your blue lodge council meeting.
Yeah. You need to show up.
You need to show up.
Maybe not every single one.
But not every single
you
one.
You got to get to okay. at least
right now with the whole COVID thing going on.
Well, yeah, that's a game changer.
Go at least once. Like, start but we had, a junior warden
but,
and go.
But I can tell you, District 3 had virtual blue lodge council meetings. We were doing them weekly for a while, and it was myself, worshipful Brother Ken, Brother Doug Barry, and a few others on it.
Oh, but those are like social meetings.
Yeah.
Those weren't like
but they
regular
were official.
Business.
They were
but
like,
yeah,
blue
it was.
Right.
You know what, though? Even
there wasn't any business to do at that
we
time.
We can include
yeah,
that
that's
into
true
this.
Too. Yeah.
But how many right worshipfuls were on there? A couple, right?
A few.
Yeah.
Mike Adams was on a few of them.
Yep. So if you are not a right worshipful, you are a worshipful brother who's seeking and want to advance in Masonry. The right worshipful see this.
Oh, yeah, they see who's on.
They see your face.
So even the Grand Master was on a few of those.
Every single time you go to a Blue Lodge Council meeting, every single time you just happen to pop into another lodge just to, hey, I'm just here in a friendly visit. Every single time that you know, another lodge calls and says, shit, we're down a junior warden for the MM degree.
We need a senior deacon. We're totally screwed.
Yep.
Can you do this lecture?
And you show up.
Yeah.
Yep.
They recognize that. So now that's where you get the cross-pollination of lodges, of where you'll get a permanent member, a right worshipful, whatever you, this title is, most worshipful, right worshipful, whatever, will be like, yeah, well, you know, I'm going to nominate Joe because, you know, Joe showed up for that Master Mason degree, and I've seen him every Blue Lodge, and he's a real likable guy, and he's getting to know everybody in the lodge. That's how you get a nomination, just like that. And then, you know, obviously, you know, if there's a right worshipful in Joe's lodge, besides that other right worshipful, says, yeah, I nominate Joe too. And that's how it works. And then what they do is they tally all this up. So let's say Joe has 4 likes. Let's say Ken has 3 likes. Let's say Rocco has 1 like. They're going to say, okay, well, first thing we do is we're going to ask Joe.
And congratulations to Rocco for getting 1.
I appreciate that.
That's one more than I thought you'd get. It's one more I thought you'd get. So congrats.
I'm using it as an example. Like there are
and you weren't there to vote for yourself.
But I will say, if you go to a meeting, if you go to like Grand Lodge, sit down at a table with officers from other lodges.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
one of the biggest things.
Oh, you
things.
Have to do that.
Absolutely.
Sit down at a table with officers from other lodges. I met people from Massachusetts. I met people from all over the country doing that.
Yeah,
and
you can
fantastic.
Trade best practices too. I mean, what works for you guys this year?
Just sitting down and saying, "Hey, you know, I recognize you."
So
and sitting down at a table.
So I got some recommendations for this. So I just want to wrap this up with what I'm saying is. So Joe gets nominated. Okay, Joe's going to be our pick.
Can somebody veto me?
No.
Can somebody step in and say, "Oh no,
nope.
I know him."
After that,
follow
him
to the end of the earth. I will.
If you have four nominations, if you have 4 people, because what they'll do is they'll eventually start knocking people out. Rock only had 1. We're going to get rid of him. So, how do you want to revote? You want to say Jay? So now it's Joe or Ken. My pick. Of those two, who would you pick?
I
pick Joe. You know. So now it's 5. You know. To or. But hear me out.
I get it. Yeah.
Hear me out now. So now Joe is our pick. So we'll make the phone call. They make the phone call to you and say, hey, would you like to be a district deputy for 3rd District?
And Joe's like, hell no.
Believe it or not, it has happened on more than one occasion.
That's
well, yeah,
like
it's
a
big job.
And this is why it's so important to keep it secret. Because if Joe says, no, listen, man, I got too much shit going on in my life. There's no way I could do this right now. They're going to call you. And the reason why it's you don't run up like, hey, guess what? You got picked. You know, or hey, Ken, you're in the running. Because, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Ken. I didn't want to tell you if Joe got picked. And then Joe declines it? How would you feel about not being second place?
Exactly. Well, it's like an interview, right?
Right.
So it's like candidates for a
right.
job.
Oh, right. You talk to the person, they accept it, because then you don't want to be, oh, sorry, it's your second choice. I wasn't good enough to be your first choice.
Yeah. Oh, the guy didn't
Screw
show
you.
Up for his first
day. Go after
day,
him.
You
know? Go after
it's
the guy that got one
acceptance.
Vote.
No, I'm saying it's just mutual acceptance.
But now, here's the kicker in the balls of the whole thing, though. Joe says no. Ken says yes. So Ken is our choice. We send that up to the Grand Master. This is 3rd District's choice for our district deputy. The Grand Master can go no.
Be like, he's on that podcast.
I want.
I saw him on the YouTube.
Be wearing this.
Is that the guy that makes the fart noises?
Is that the fart joke?
The Grandmaster can say, "No, I don't want Ken. I want Rocco." So you can be nominated. It's no guarantee. But here's my point in all this, and this is why I'm kind of breaking this all down.
Does that happen frequently?
Yeah. Okay. It happens with one particular grandmaster that the one we do not speak of anymore.
Oh, that one.
He who shall not be named.
You should not be named. No, all joking aside, but yeah, it's happened before on many, many occasions. There's also been times where a district deputy is like, yeah, I did the first year. I'll do a second year. I'm done.
I've heard of that happening.
It happens infrequently, but it has happened before. So now there might be a scramble meeting. So
people's life situations change over a 2-year
absolutely.
Term. That stuff can happen.
Not only that, some people just get burned out. Like, understand, district deputy is not an easy job. You're putting out fires on the phone. You're putting out fires in lodge. You're helping lodges when they need it. Like, I'll be clear about something about district deputy is you are a servant to your lodges. The lodges do not serve you.
Right.
So don't come into your lodges acting like an asshole, wearing the big hat and the pink feather and the $1 million cane, acting like a douchebag. I want to be clear about that. We are all brothers. You're all buried in the same white apron.
Wait, what?
I want to be clear about that.
District deputies are pimps?
Hold on. I can have a pink feather in my
hat. There's a lot of words in that sentence there. Right. He's got to repeat
my point
it.
Can I get the platform shoes with the goldfish?
I accept.
I'm just making a point.
No, I know.
Don't come into a lodge acting like a douche.
No, you're
there to support the lodge and help the lodge. Not to be condescending, not to be nasty, not to lay the law down. That's not what your job is. Your job is to assist.
I will say, as someone sitting on the sidelines, it's really uncomfortable when the district deputy comes in and slaps hands. As someone sitting on the sidelines.
Slaps hands? Like walks by and does like
you
the...
Know what I, no,
like
you know
with
what
a
I
ruler.
Mean.
Like, you're naughty. Like,
When
is publicly reprimanding? Or like
it could be a little.
I mean, I've had
intimidating.
Both. One thing I want, though, is everyone to know that after you're a worshipful brother and you're a past master, you are not a has been. You are still in the running. That even goes for a past district deputy. You could still be called up at any point in time. And you should never give up. If you want to move up to that level, don't be like, oh, yeah, there's no way I'm going to make it. Because you could be called upon. And, you know, you should always strive to, not to necessarily get to to be a district deputy. You should do it for the craft in general. But, you know, if you're really hard up, I want to be district deputy, and somebody else is picked over you, don't lose faith. Because... as long as you keep trucking along and you keep showing the permanent members and you keep showing, you know, those above you that you're into this, like you want to be an asset to the craft, if you right. will.
Well, it's like
there's a good probability you'll eventually get it.
Your behavior as a Mason got you into the conversation,
right?
So continue your behavior as a Mason, and that'll. A, keep you in right. the conversation because it got you there in the first place. And two, one day maybe it gets you there. But
honestly, we should be doing that anyway.
Exactly.
Right. We shouldn't be doing it for a reason.
I mean, how many
exactly. And then it's exactly what Worshipful Brother Ken just said.
Right.
And you and I have had this discussion. Mm-hmm. If one day it happens, great. I'd love to be able to serve my brothers in that capacity.
Hey, Rocco.
If it never happens, that doesn't change what I'm going to do and how I'm going to conduct myself as a Mason.
Two things I want to say to that is, number one, if you are not chosen and somebody is chosen above you, don't be smug about it. You know,
support them.
The problem we have as Masons, and again, we're all men, we all have egos to some degree, is that we lose one of two things. A, we get very,
that should have been my job.
And we get pissy about it, and then it's fuck it, I ain't gonna do it no more, and you storm off and you never come back, and that's how you lose faith. But you shouldn't do that. You should be supportive of your brothers. You should want your brothers to succeed. And here's the kicker of it all, and this I know for a fact has happened before, where a brother was picked to be district deputy, and he said, oh, who had the next amount of votes in line? Oh, it was brother so-and-so. Oh, that's my AGM. Just like that. And if you
or I can't do it, you know what? You should really give it to him.
But I'm just saying, like, right. That happens. Like,
and that's actually a good thing because...
Yeah. An associate grand marshal is the district deputy.
Those are the two most trusted brethren for that job in the entire district. They should be the two.
It's not like you get a district deputy and you just pick some lackey that you know is going to agree with you. No, give me the next...
That's what I did.
I was going to say, I know some guys who may or may not have done that. But.
I'm just kidding. Worship of the Tumblr.
My Secretary of Defense coming with me.
The Associate Grand Marshal is, and if you kick ass as the Associate Grand Marshal, there is probably a 99.9% probability that you will move to that district deputy's position in 2 years.
Yeah, no, I've seen it go. I've seen it go the other way.
It has gone the other way.
It was
sure.
A shame. It was a true shame because the AGM really worked his butt off.
Yeah,
and then after 1 year, they're like, "Oh, we're gonna pick somebody else."
Yeah, that's shitty. Normally, it doesn't happen, but it can though. I mean, again,
I'll tell you who off air, and you'll be shocked.
Yeah,
you'll be shocked.
I'm sure I would be. And you know, part of it is also you have to understand that even if you are picked to be district deputy, the Grand Master can go, "Yeah, no."
Right.
Nope. Yeah. I got my own guy I'm going to put in.
Yep. It's still the Grand Master. This is a process to whittle down the numbers because it's, by sheer magnitude, the Grand Master's got other things to do. But he can always override those decisions, just like the Master of a Lodge can override a...
Right. And I always feel like
pick for Junior Steward or
whatever. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ken.
That was it. I'm done.
I'm sorry. I thought you were done. You paused for a long time, so I apologize.
For like a millisecond.
I feel like I step on Ken a
that
lot.
That was straight up 200 milliseconds. I'm sorry, in 2 seconds. So it was like 2/10 of a second.
I apologize.
That's all right.
Good news is he won't feel it with those little feet. You're welcome, Ken.
Thank you. All right. 13s.
I got 11s. Bastard.
Really?
Yeah.
Like youth 11s?
Oh, stop. No, I believe it. I'm on 11.
I have 11s, I swear to God.
You're taller than him, though.
I'm not, actually.
No, you're not. Oh, really?
I'm about
no.
an inch shorter than him.
Yeah. It's just all
I think. I think me and Rocco really need to stand up and stand in front of the camera just to prove that I'm not a freaking midget, that
no,
you guys have been constantly pushing this narrative for, like,
that's
ever.
Why I stay real quiet when they start throwing out the short jokes.
You guys go do that because I have to go grab a beer anyway.
So you were speaking of short, though. Yeah. You'll actually appreciate this because this came out through an interaction I had with him last week. Those who were on Patreon know Clandy Andy. He's not a Clandy, but it just
he's
stuck.
Everybody's got nicknames.
It
mean,
it
which
rhymed.
Jim D's?
Asshole.
Okay.
Jim D.
Yeah. Clandy Andy's 5'2".
Wow.
Is he really?
Holy shit.
That's what he said.
All right.
Like, he admitted to it. Which means he's probably like 5'1". If he's
he needs
like,
some,
yeah.
He needs
yeah.
some cardboard.
He's like, yeah, I'm 5'2".
I would love to like kick Clandy Andy to come to the podcast and find out. He's like, oh, no, I'm sorry. It was 6'2".
Yeah,
fuck.
My bad.
Yeah, right back in my hole I go. District Deputy, we'll get back into this one last thing. Couple words of advice. When I was coming up, I always felt like District Deputy or Grand Lodge officers were like something above. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'll never get to that. Like, I'm only going to be, you kind of get what I'm saying? You always ever feel that? At some point where it's like when you first came into the craft, you're like, there's no way I'm going to wear the purple apron or work
that
for the
state. That it's beyond you?
That it's beyond me?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was never thinking about doing the job so much as these guys are wearing purple and like I have to be on my junk. I got to be on my game because they are, but usually they show up when there's like an inspection or something.
Didn't
we're
it
getting
seem
graded? And
didn't it seem unobtainable though from you? For you?
I mean, I never really thought to aspire to that level. Like, I was just trying to survive the year.
Okay.
I don't play the long game, man. But
I know you say you put these guys on kind of a pedestal because hey, the district deputy's here, and they get introduced, and it's this big grand thing, and then next thing you know, the gavel's passing.
Yeah.
Like, oh wow,
no mistake.
That's a really cool thing.
I had that with George.
Wow.
With what?
I looked up to George. He was my purple.
Oh well, that kind of happens.
You have to look up to me anyway.
I finally got a tall joke in there. Yay!
That happens when you first become a Mason, though, too, because you look at the officers in your lodges that are like memorizing these like ridiculously long, intricate rituals, and you're like, holy crap, I could never do that. Like, these guys put feeling into it and stuff, and then next thing you know, if you aspire to it, like, you can do it.
Well, and next to the other interesting piece of this is you go through the line admiring certain people, you have certain mentors, and then next thing you know it, you're in the master's chair, and then next thing you know it, you're a past master, and even as master, you've got past masters coming to you kind of as a peer, you know, even though they're past masters in their mind, there might be a half step ahead.
They're still above you.
But but even as a past master with other past masters who were my mentors and people that I looked up to through the line.
Must have been nice.
Now you get like these, it's like, wow, we're treating each other as peers. And that kind of dawns on you at one point, like, oh my God. Like, I think it's no secret. Worshipful Brother Bob first. I have a tremendous amount of respect
absolutely.
For him. And he's been my mentor throughout my career. Now we talk as peers. And it's just a weird thing. It's like, shit, I'm never going
to
be. Because
you've always looked up to that guy.
Exactly.
You always thought he was a mentor. Yeah.
Yeah. And when we can, and then in some situations where I'm giving him advice, it's like, wow, this is really weird. Like, really weird. Uh-oh, who made a comment?
Danny Collins has
arrived. Oh, boy. No,
and we're talking about
Danny Collins has arrived. Hello, Brother Danny Collins.
I'm not seeing him on mine. It must be a delay.
Oh, he's there. Trust me. You'll see him in a moment.
Yeah, his posts keep getting deleted by, like, the YouTube AI bots.
Not me.
But, yeah, I know
you. You know what I'm talking about, though. It always seemed attainable. And even as a master, after you become a past master, it was like, well, how do I get to that? Like, how do I do that? I was always asking questions like, oh, how do I become a district deputy or an AGM? Like, I was always asking that, and you always get kind of the...
You don't ask those questions.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right.
It's not for you to know.
Right. I came to be a district deputy by a different means. The one we do not speak of. I actually met him at a. It was a dinner, but it was more of a roast of Most Worshipful Gary Arsenault.
Okay.
And he happened to be at the same table, me and
who shall not be named.
The
Voldemort. Call him Voldemort.
And we actually got to talking, and we talked frequently. even we traded numbers at this dinner, and that's kind of how it happened. Little did I know that down the road, he called me up and be like, hey, I lost the DD. You on board? Yeah. Because it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing that doesn't pass me by, so you bet your ass I'm going to take it. And I was, you know, explained the situation, if you will. And I said, listen, I'm in this just to help my lodges. I want to be an asset to my lodges. I don't care about the bureaucracy. I don't care about the bullshit that goes on. I just want to help the lodges if I can.
So you came in as not being a political...
I was not chosen by this district.
Right.
And that was pointed out by other Right Worshipful Brothers on a frequent basis.
You weren't a career politician. You were coming in as a...
I was a Trumper.
Private citizen. that's not where I was going with it. I was just saying.
You left the door open.
But you weren't tainted by, like, the overall politics behind the process. And not... Jesus Christ. I have to use better word choices here.
Definitely not Grundle, though.
Yeah.
I came in when he was... When you were DD, basically.
No.
A little before.
Yes.
A little before, not much.
You came in when I was master. I did your EA degree. Come on now, Rocco. I remember this.
Tom.
Perhaps you're being a little short-sighted.
You were DD.
Son of a bitch!
I think you were DD. Right. And I will tell you that I went to lodges with you.
Danny
and
Collins.
I remember you wearing purple and walking in lodges.
Hold on. Danny Collins.
I believe you.
George is a mini Malfoy.
Like Draco?
Oh, that's Malfoy. Nice. I like it. Yeah.
Lucius. I was picked directly by the Grand Master.
I just wanted to point out that you were a very good district deputy.
Thank you.
Just trying to get at.
Thank you. With all your shortcomings.
We're going to keep this shit up all night, aren't we?
We could. Until I become short of breath.
I hope you feel bad.
Want some dessert? I got some shortcake.
Just keep them coming.
Boy, you were on your shit tonight. I'm not going to lie. You were definitely on it tonight.
No shortage of jokes here.
Oh, wow. All right.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. Everybody has their time. Apparently today was mine. I didn't know it, but...
I didn't either. That's the funny thing.
I know. It just kind of happens like that. Yeah. I mean, Ken got his ass beat up a couple podcasts ago, so... Hey, Discord. Joe's due.
Yeah, what, I get it every freaking day. Are you kidding me?
It is really? Time.
I haven't been on Discord much frequently.
There's a lot of... All the ginger stuff. I get a lot of more ginger touch stuff.
But there's a little anti-Joe going on in there.
Really?
Sometimes.
I know they call you the judge, right?
But it's like
judge?
All in jest. It's
it
not is like,
yeah, no, it's no, not it's not mean-spirited at all. I don't take it that way at all.
And I want to be clear on this. If you guys listen to this and you end up joining Discord, Patreon, whatever, take nothing serious.
Yeah, don't be short-tempered.
Everything's...
nicely done.
Damn you!
Don't be short-tempered.
You know, the funny thing is, I'm not even the shortest one in the friggin' room, and I'm taking offense to... No, I'm not taking offense to it, but you know what I mean.
Add it to the short list.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Right. Wow. Yeah. See, this is just spreading.
Sorry.
You got any good short person taunts? Just laying out
like
YouTube.
Gingivitis. No.
Yeah, I get it. I'm not laughing, but all I get
right.
it.
That fell a little short.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that was good.
Oh, my God. Placed. I am not reading that, Danny
what
Collins.
Is, I don't even know what that means.
I don't know. I don't know.
I think perfect. We got off the DD thing a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, way off.
Yeah, we, that's all
like
right. No,
off
fine.
On a dirt road somewhere.
It's fine, though. Listen, I think we pretty much beat it to death.
Yeah, we're a little short on content.
No!
Thank you.
What was I going to say? In all seriousness, though, anybody who is interested in it is obtainable to become a district deputy yeah. or a grand line officer. It is obtainable. It's very possible.
Yeah, don't sell yourself short.
Yeah.
I'm out. That's no. like a mic drop.
I think I'm done. I think. These are just popping in my head as we go. That's I didn't prepare anything.
I feel like I'm
then
no matter
just
what
wait
I
for
say.
The opportunity to drop it. I get it.
But
we all have our shortfalls.
This is clearly my night. This is a good one though. you're definitely on it.
You just lost the vote. I just lost the vote.
Oh, you lost the vote.
Lose our dues card next.
Yes, Danny Collins, George drew the short straw tonight, boys.
Oh, nicely done, brother Danny.
That's fine. Anyway, we'll close this up and then you guys can continue with your bullshit short jokes. But
are your secretary's notes done in shorthand?
Short form?
Shorthand?
Shorthand.
They don't even teach shorthand anymore.
What is
they
shorthand?
It's like that. Yeah, it's like that.
Is that like when I sign for like it's like sign for my card at like the bullshit gas station?
It's like
cigarettes.
If you're doing dictation or if you're doing like
right,
when
you have to write things down. Court, it's a fast way to take notes. And it's like universal.
Yeah.
Like one of the big ones, like you know the little at sign.
Yep.
That's like a shorthand kind of thing.
I didn't know that. Learn something new every day.
Sounds like you got shorted with your education
they need to
there a
little
teach
bit. Cursive.
I went to Naugatuck. Of course I was.
Kids don't know how to
I can't debate that one. I mean, that's 100%. Yeah. But anyway, don't sell yourself short.
Don't short yourself.
Trying to get you out to spit that beer across the room. No, but it can be obtained. You can be a district deputy. The Grand Lodge and Grand Lodge officers, district deputies are not unobtainable. It's something you can do as long as you strive and try to do it. So even if you're not picked, just keep pushing. Just keep trying to do your best, and at some point you will be recognized. I would encourage you to get out in your district. If I mean, granted, I think all jurisdictions are split up into districts, but get out into your district, run into different lodges, go into go help other lodges, even if it's on like their community service event and everything, and people notice your works.
Yeah. I don't think every jurisdiction has the concept of Blue Lodge councils, but there's definitely, you all have the ability to travel, right? We're all Masons. Traveling is one of the things that we enjoy doing. So go visit the lodges in your state or in your jurisdiction and see what they're doing.
Absolutely. That's it. I'm done.
Yeah, we're running short on time.
God damn it, just keep on coming. Just keep on coming.
I have nothing else to offer.
I got nothing else. I think I'm done. If I have more, I'll be
in. What's your brother, Ken?
Yeah, Shorty. What's up?
Womp, womp, womp.
What? That's not womp. Good enough? Okay.
That fell short.
What would you like? Yes. What?
No, you have anything else you want to bring?
Oh, no. No. Nothing to bring before the lodge at this time, Worshipful Master.
Worshipful Master?
What?
No, no, that's what we say, right? You.
Master of the podcast.
I'm getting hungry. We should wrap this up.
Yes.
I was looking for some short ribs.
I was looking for some other content. I heard
some other content.
There was something else that somebody had written to me, but we'll talk about it next podcast. So, yep. But anyway, for the Freemasons podcast, thank you, sons of bitches, brothers, for all the laughs tonight.
Indeed,
love being the ass of the jokes, but you know what? That's fine. Anyway, for the Freemasons podcast, I am Right Worshipful Brother George Marjorie signing off.
Worshipful Brother Joe. Signing off.
Worshipful Brother Ken, signing off.
And Brother Rocco, signing off.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Hope you enjoyed.
Yeah. I sure didn't.